I'm sure that you're like me, and on occasions you may have bought flat-pack furniture, and you've wrestled with hours to try and get it in place. Or maybe it was some gadget or some electrical product, and you wasted time trying to get it up and running. We tend to operate on the principle, when all else fails, read the instructions. Now, sadly, many people have that kind of attitude to life in general. And sadly, too, very many people never read the instructions as to how they ought to conduct their lives. You may ask, where can we find instructions about regulating our lives? These instructions are found in the Bible. It might surprise you to know that in the Bible there are instructions that would ensure a happy marriage. There are instructions for good parenting. There are instructions that would help us in the conduct of our financial affairs. There are instructions about business ethics. In the Word of God, there are instructions that cover every area of our lives. There are instructions in the Bible regarding how we ought to live our lives morally. We call these instructions the Ten Commandments. These Ten Commandments were given by God to regulate our lives for our happiness, and you wasted time trying to get it up and running. We tend to operate on the principle, when all else fails, read the instructions. Now, sadly, many people have that kind of attitude to life in general. And sadly, too, very many people never read the instructions as to how they ought to conduct their lives. You may ask, where can we find instructions about regulating our lives? These instructions are found in the Bible. It might surprise you to know that in the Bible there are instructions that would ensure a happy marriage. There are instructions for good parenting. There are instructions that would help us in the conduct of our financial affairs. There are instructions about business ethics. In the Word of God, there are instructions that cover every area of our lives. There are instructions in the Bible regarding how we ought to live our lives morally. We call these instructions the Ten Commandments. These Ten Commandments were given by God to regulate our lives for our happiness and for our health. Some people think that the Ten Commandments are restrictive. Some people think that they were given to make us unhappy, to hem us in. The great Creator, the one who made us, knows best how we tick. And He gave these commandments, yes, for our health and happiness, for our physical health, for our mental health, and for a happy life. I wonder if you live your life by these Ten Commandments. Many people tend to ignore them, and that is foolish. If you were to buy a car with the car and for our health, some people think that the Ten Commandments are restrictive. Some people think that they were given to make us unhappy, to hem us in. The great Creator, the one who made us, knows best how we tick. And He gave these commandments, yes, for our health and happiness, for our physical health, for our mental health, and for a happy life. I wonder if you live your life by these Ten Commandments. Many people tend to ignore them, and that is foolish. If you were to buy a car, with the car would come the manufacturer's instructions. In that little volume, it would show you where to put the fuel, where to put the oil, where to put the water. But you could say, who cares what the manufacturer says? It's my car. I've paid good money for it. I'll treat it the way I like. I'll put the fuel where I choose. I'll place the water where I like. I'll decide where the oil goes. And you disregard the manufacturer's instructions. Well, of course, at the best, the car wouldn't go. At the worst, it might blow up. But what folly to ignore the manufacturer's instructions. Similarly, it is foolish to ignore our Creator's instructions. And He gave these commandments so that we would live happy lives. But maybe you're saying to me, I have a problem. I know what these commandments demand. My difficulty is, I just can't reach the standard. Well, that is a problem that we all have. There's not a person in the world who has attained the perfect standard that the Ten Commandments demand. Every one of us are far short of that perfect standard. Not one of you listening to me has never, ever told a lie. Every one of us have been guilty of telling untruths on occasions. Maybe some of you have been guilty of blasphemy, or coveting, or immorality, or even stealing. Perhaps some of you have been of a violent disposition. And well, all of these things violate God's commands. The Apostle Paul in the Bible was a man who prided himself in that he had kept the most of God's commands. As he ran his eye down the commandments, he was quite complacent and smug until he got to commandment number 10. And commandment number 10 says, "Thou shalt not covet." And as Paul began to think about that, he realized that within his heart there was a desire for things that he didn't have. He was covetous. And that covetous spirit exposed him as being guilty. You don't have to break all God's commands to be guilty. In the 1800s, there was a preacher from America called D.L. Moody who visited the United Kingdom. He used to illustrate the point that I'm making now by speaking of a man hanging over a cliff clutching a chain comprising of 10 big links. Moody asked his congregation, how many of these links would have to break before the man would go plunging to his doom? Would they all have to be severed? Of course, the answer is no, just one of them. Only one of the links would have to be broken, and it would spell disaster for that man. Now, in the same way, we don't have to break all of God's commandments to be sinners in his sight. We only need to break one of them. And the Bible says if we keep the whole law of God and yet offend in only one point, that's just enough to make us guilty. So the fact of the matter is, although we may be aware of God's instructions, and although we may have a desire to keep them for the more part, every one of us have to face it. We've failed. We're short of the perfect standard. We're guilty. And it is because we are guilty, we need a Saviour. Are there any instructions in the Bible then as how my guilt can be removed, and as to how I can receive forgiveness, and as to how I can be sure of a right relationship with God and be certain of being with him in eternity? Yes, again, there are instructions in the Bible about how a person can be right with God. But again, very sadly, many people choose to disregard these instructions. Many people have their own plans as to how they are going to be right with God and ready for heaven. And oftentimes, central to these plans would be endeavouring to live a good life. Now, it's wonderful when people do try to live morally and when they are kind and generous. But none of these things, nor all of them put together, can ever make us right with God. The Word of God says, it is not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. You see, as God looked at us as flawed, sinful creatures, he did have a great desire to show mercy towards us. He didn't want us to experience his judgment for all eternity. He didn't want us to be lost. And so, he put in place a wonderful plan of salvation. Now, central to that plan was the fact that his own dear Son had to come into this world. God the Son was manifest in the flesh, the Bible says. That is, he became a real man. He was born as an infant at Bethlehem. He grew up in this world in a disreputable village called Nazareth. And then, after 33 years, he died on a cross. And his death on that cross was God's provision for our need. He bore the penalty that I deserved. The Bible puts it this way. He was wounded for our transgressions, our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. And so, because the Lord Jesus stepped in and bore the judgment of God when he died on that cross outside Jerusalem, because he did that, God can now offer you pardon and forgiveness. As I said earlier, He doesn't want you to experience his judgment for eternity on account of your sins. He wants you to be saved from that judgment. So then, what are the instructions that he gives you so that you can benefit from what Christ did when he died and rose again? Well, God tells you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. A Bible verse puts it this way, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It says again, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you feel your failure and your guilt and your sin, and you long for relief, you want the burden to be lifted, you want to be sure that you have a right relationship with God and are ready to meet him, then you must remember that Christ did the work when he died upon the cross, but it is for you to turn to him now in repentance and in faith. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God cancels your guilt, he forgives your sins, he saves your soul, and he sets you on the road that leads to glory. The point is, are you willing to obey these instructions? Or are you still going to operate on the principle, when all else fails, read the instructions and comply with the instructions? Or could it be that you'll never read the instructions and obey the instructions? The sad thing is that many choose to disregard God's instructions. Paul thought about many of his contemporaries and he said about them, they have not all obeyed the gospel. You see, being converted to Christ by believing on him is an act of obedience. It is obeying the instructions that God gives. And you have got to obey the instructions. Tell me, could it be said of you, you have not obeyed the gospel? Well, those who do obey the gospel, those who do comply with the instructions that God gives, they come into the good of all that Christ did when he suffered and died upon the cross at Calvary. I would urge you to think well of the importance of obeying the gospel. The Bible says that if you obey the gospel, God will give you his Holy Spirit. He gives the Spirit to as many as obey him. And when you receive the Holy Spirit of God, you are then empowered to live as a Christian ought to live. Oh, you won't be absolutely flawless. You won't be perfect. But you will discover that you do have a power in life that enables you to conquer the habits of sin which have enslaved you for years. I spoke earlier of the fact that people tell lies, and of the fact that people blaspheme and are guilty of other sins. Many are in absolute slavery to these things, and they long for relief. They want to be emancipated. They discovered by experience that they cannot rid themselves of these shackles that bind them. They can't break free by their own power. They don't have the ability to conquer the habits of sin that bind them. But when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when you obey the gospel, when you obey the instructions, then when the Holy Spirit of God comes to reside in your life, it is he who empowers you to live as you ought to live. You'll discover that you're able to resist temptations which once you found absolutely irresistible. You'll discover that you've got the power to do things that are positively good, which you couldn't quite bring yourself to do formerly. Your life will be radically revolutionized by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see then the importance of obeying the gospel? He gives his Spirit to those who obey him. And in the power of the Spirit, you can live as you ought to live. But of course, when you obey the instructions of the Bible by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are set on the road that leads to glory. But of course, those who do not obey the gospel of Christ, they never experience salvation. And the Bible asks, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? It is Peter who asks that question in the scriptures. It is Paul who answers it. He says they'll be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. That is very sobering. just to think that if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to receive the gift of salvation, then at the last you will be banished from the presence of God to experience his judgment. And the Bible calls that judgment eternal judgment. It's not temporal. It's not something that will come and go. It is something that is absolutely eternal. So that means this. Where you'll be 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now, where you will be forever, either heaven or hell, hinges on whether or not you have obeyed the instructions about how to get right with God. If you don't obey the gospel, then it means that you'll be lost for all eternity. But the prospect of heaven is open to you if you are willing simply to obey the gospel. So please, don't live your life on the principle, when all else fails, read the instructions. You read the instructions in the Bible here and now. Discover the instructions given in the commandments expose us as being flawed and sinful. But discover too that the instructions about how to be right with God simply make clear that through faith in Christ and by accepting the value of what he did when he gave his life in sacrifice, you can be right with God and ready for heaven.